Item of other business is Massey's Landings Properties LLC, CU 1963.
This is a request to amend condition number 8 for the conditional use. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on May 23rd, 2017. As part of the approval, condition number 8 states that the entire facility may open no earlier than April 1st each year and shall close no later than the first Sunday of November of each year. The applicant is requesting that condition number 8 be amended to state the entire facility may open no earlier than the Friday preceding April 1st each year and shall close no later than the first Sunday of November of each year. This request does not require a public hearing as the condition was created by the Planning Commission.
Mr. Hopkins, it's in your, you can just read it off the cheat sheet here. Oh, it's all the way, yeah.
So this is...
Yeah, just read this.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to Massey's Landing Properties LLC, CU 1963, I move to amend the condition of approval proposed new condition number 8. The entire facility may be open no earlier than the Friday preceding April 1st each year and shall close no later than the first Sunday in November of each year.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the request for amended condition number 8 of Massey's Landing Properties LLC, CU 1963. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item on the agenda is Pelican's Landing, subdivision 1725.
This is a final site plan for Pelican Landing to construct 87,800 square feet of commercial space on three proposed parcels with site improvements to be located off John J. Williams Highway, Route 24. The Planning Commission granted preliminary approval on January 8, 2015, with final site plan approval by Planning Commission contingent on receipt of agency approvals and approval of a shared parking agreement. The property consists of 14.12 acres, is zoned B1, and is located within the Environmentally Sensitive Development District Overlay Zone. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 7, Parcels 88, 89, 90, 91, and 92.01.
Mr. Chairman.
So just real quick, just I want to clarify a couple of things on this. One, just I know Mr. Ross, there's a file number, and you read it as a subdivision. This was a B1 rezoning, and there's a cross-access easement and shared parking declaration. I suspect that's because there's multiple parcels in here.
Yes.
So, this is the issue, and it doesn't, don't worry, it doesn't affect any approvals. But with B1, there's a limit on the size. And so what you do is, we've seen it, you have what is essentially one single development that's carved into multiple parcels. That way each parcel is still under the size limit. And then you have cross-access easement and shared parking to make it a contiguous development. Again, I don't want to, he's grabbing the seat going, Mr. Robertson, you just be quiet. But it's one of those moments where this gives an example of something that we've talked about looking at in the code, because, you know, and it'll probably get dealt with to some extent with this new commercial zoning.
That was going to be my question. Yeah. I think I was under the impression that the new commercial zoning would at least solve part of this issue.
Yes.
So and maybe to address mixed use at some point.
Mm-hmm. Some mm-hmm. point, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was just an opportunity to kind of give you an example of where this happens. There's nothing improper about it or anything else. It's because it's what the code allows. But
no, I think it's a good teaching moment. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Robinson.
Yeah. You can unclench the seat now. You know, white knuckles over there.
Okay, Mr. Hudson, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the final site plan for Pelican Landing, S17-25.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the final site plan for Pelican's Landing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Americana Bayside Phase 13, RPC.
This is a final site plan for the construction of 26 townhouse units and site improvements on 4.59 acres to be located in Americana Bayside as Phase 13. Planning Commission granted approval of a revised preliminary site plan on December 22, 2016. The final site plan is in compliance with the zoning code, and staff is in receipt of all agency approvals. The property is owned MRRPC. The tax parcel is District 533, Map 19, Parcel 301.01.
Any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I move, Mr. Chairman, in regard to Americana Bayside Phase 13 RPC, I move for final site plan approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the final site plan, Americana Bayside Phase 13. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Americana Bayside Overflow Parking RPC, final site plan.
This is a revised site plan to construct an overflow parking lot to add 36 additional parking spaces for the Harris Teeter Fuel Center and provide open space at Americana Bayside, located off Americana Parkway and Lighthouse Road. The Planning Commission approved the site plan for construction of gasoline pumps, a canopy, kiosk, and signage with revisions to on-site parking and landscaping at this site on January 28, 2016. The site plan is in compliance with the zoning code, and staff is in receipt of all agency approvals. The property is zoned MRRPC, and the tax parcels are District 533, Map 19, Parcels 37 and 17.02.
Mr. Chairman, in regard to Americana Bayside Overflow Parking RPC, I move for final site plan approval.
Second.
We have a motion in 2 seconds to approve Americana Bayside Overflow Parking RPC final site plan. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Marshall Street Mini Storage, conditional use 2020 and conditional use 1771. Preliminary and final site plan.
This is a preliminary and final site plan for 79,132 square foot mini storage facility to be located off Marshall Street, Sussex County Route 225, and Swains Road, it's a private road. An application for conditional use 2020 for mini storage units and boat and RV storage was recommended for approval by the Planning Commission on July 9th, 2015. The site plan is in compliance with the zoning code, and staff is in receipt of all agency approvals. The property consists of 8.919 acres and is zoned AR1. The tax parcels are District 330, Map 11.17, Parcels 18, 20, and District 330, Map 15.05, Parcel 6.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. In reference to Marshall Street Mini Storage, application S-17-34, conditional use 2020 and 1771, I move for preliminary and final site plan approval.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
Staff? So this one had some issues, I mean, not issues, but fences and buffers. You all looked at this, because I can't tell reading this. I mean, it's got all that on there. It's all shown the way it's supposed to. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is so small and hard to tell. Yeah, that's all I have. Thanks.
Okay. Second.
You got a motion and a second to approve the preliminary and final site plan for Marshall Street Mini Storage, conditional use 2020 and conditional use 1771. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item is Coastal Club Clubhouse RPC revised amenities site plan.
This is a revised amenities site plan for the Coastal Club RPC Clubhouse and Amenities. The Planning Commission approved the preliminary and final site plan for the Coastal Club Clubhouse and Amenities on July 30, 2015. The revised plan proposes to eliminate the Arts and Crafts building and increase parking. The site plan is in compliance with the zoning code. Staff is awaiting updated agency approvals, and the property consists of 6.67 acres and is zoned MRRPC. The tax parcel is District 334, Map 11, Parcels 395 and 396.
All right, Mr. Chairman, in reference to Coastal Club Clubhouse RPC, I move that we approve the revised amenity site plan as submitted.
Second.
We have a motion and second to approve the revised amenities site plan for Coastal Club Clubhouse RPC. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Subaville 54 Storage Expansion revised preliminary site plan.
This is a revised preliminary site plan to expand an existing mini storage facility to construct up to 50 additional mini storage units totaling 119,824 square feet of floor area to be located off Lighthouse Road, Route 54. The Planning Commission previously granted approval on November 11th, 2015 for buildings F and G. The revised site plan is in compliance with the zoning code and staff is awaiting agency approvals. The property is 10.5 acres and is zoned C1. The tax parcels are District 533, Map 18, Parcels 57 and 57.03.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the revised preliminary site plan as both a preliminary with a final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other approvals for Selbyville 54 storage expansion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the revised preliminary site plan with final by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals for Selbyville 54 storage expansion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. The next item on the agenda is Arbor Lynn, conditional use 2046.
This is a preliminary site plan for Arbor Lynn, conditional use 2046, for the construction of 142 multifamily dwellings on 35.45 acres to be located off of Warrington Road. The property is zoned MR with conditional use for multifamily structures. The tax parcels are District 334, Map 12, Parcels 127.02, 127.04, and 127.05. Staff is awaiting agency approvals.
Can I ask a question on this one for staff?
Sure.
For curiosity's sake, this one, it got through the commission and then it kind of hung around council for a while. What was the difference between was there a difference between what came out of that you can recall out of the commission and council?
It was a reduction in the overall number of units and the density.
That's what I knew they were talking about it. I just couldn't remember.
The original plan that commission recommended approval on included multifamily townhouses and singles, and after county council, the density was reduced, so it is now just single family and townhouses.
Okay.
They dropped it back to 4, right?
They dropped it back to, I think it's slightly over 4.
This is not an RPC, though?
This is a conditional use.
CU. I think they first applied for an HR.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we did not recommend denial, and then they came back to an MRCU, multifamily.
A lot of history with this.
Yeah, there was a little history.
Yeah, it says gross density is 4 units an acre. But I don't know what the actual.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They knocked it back to 4.
I believe they maxed out what they were permitted.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chairman, regarding Arbor Lynn conditional use number 2046, I move that we grant preliminary approval with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other approvals.
Second.
We got a motion and second to grant preliminary site plan approval with final approval by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals for Arbor Lynn conditional use 2046. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is Lands of Hartnett, minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision for the creation of 3 new lots off of a 50-foot wide easement over an existing driveway located off Gravel Hill Road, Sussex County Route 30. Lot 1 is proposed as 0.814 acres more or less. Lot 2 is proposed as 1.749 acres more or less, and Lot 3 is proposed as 1.79 acres more or less. The residual lot is 0.806 acres and has adequate road frontage to access Gravel Hill Road. The parcel is zoned AR1. The parcels are zoned AR1, and the tax parcel is District 235, Map 25, Parcel 3. Staff is awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the minor subdivision with a 50-foot easement for the Lands of Hartnett.
Wait, are we doing Lands of Hartnett or Lands of Hayes?
This is Hayes.
Sorry, Lands of Hayes.
No, I introduced it as Lands
Hartnett.
Of Hartnett.
Oh, you said Hartnett.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I read Hayes.
Okay, well, you want to read it?
Like,
you want to read it again, please?
I can read Lands of Hartnett.
Okay. You're trying to get done early this time.
well, mine's for order.
On the notes, it's reversed.
My apologies.
Okay.
The Lands of Hartnett is a minor subdivision concept for the creation of 1 new lot off of a 50-foot wide easement over an existing private road, Memory Lane, located off Dodtown Road, Sussex County Road 293. Lot 1 is proposed as 0.75 acres, more or less. Lot 2 is proposed as 1.75 acres. The parcel is zoned AR1, and the tax parcel is District 135, MAP 17, parcel 28. Staff is awaiting agency approvals.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the minor subdivision of 50-foot easement for the lands of Hartnett, with the final approval by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the application of lands of Hartnett for a minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement with a final by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. The next item is the lands of Hayes, and we're going to have to make you read that all over again.
Sorry. It
gives you a chance to practice.
That's okay. All right, the land of Hayes, is a minor subdivision for the creation of three new lots off of a 50-foot wide easement over an existing driveway located off Gravel Hill Road, Sussex County Road 30. Lot 1 is proposed as 0.814 acres, Lot 2 is proposed as 1.749 acres, and Lot 3 is proposed as 1.79 acres. Residual lot is 0.806 acres and has adequate road frontage to access Gravel Hill Road. The parcel is zoned AR1. The tax parcel is District 235, MAP 25, Parcel 3. Staff is awaiting agency approvals.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the minor subdivision of 50-foot easement for the lands of Hayes with final approval by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the application of lands of Hayes for a minor subdivision off the 50-foot easement with final by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. That's all of our items of other business. The additional business item is the discussion regarding the comprehensive plan. Ms. Cornwell, we have a meeting tomorrow. Do you want to add anything?
There's a meeting tomorrow morning here, 9 o'clock in the morning, and at your seats I handed out tonight, there was a letter from the Chamber of Commerce regarding information regarding parking calculations for hotels. So I wanted to make sure you had a copy of that.
I think this is the second letter we've gotten from the Chamber, isn't it?
It is the second one. This one is specific regarding parking calculations.
The other one was height.
Which Chamber of Commerce?
Carol Everhart.
Yeah.
Okay. Any members of the commission have anything to discuss? We'll be seeing each other bright and early in the morning. Is there anyone here that would like to comment on the comprehensive plan? Yes, ma'am. Come forward, please.
My name is Judy Mangini. I'm a resident of the Angola area of Lewis, Delaware, located just off Route 24. I knew about this meeting because of Mr. Wheatley over here. Facebook, it's a wonderful thing sometimes.
Glad to see you. Thanks for coming.
Well, the reason I'm here is because everybody, excuse my French, bitches on Facebook and to each other and to our neighbors about the way things are down here. And I got to say, I'm disappointed. And I can tell you why I'm disappointed. My husband didn't join me because he said, y'all going to do what you're going to do anyway. Doesn't matter what we say. Doesn't matter who we vote for. Things happen, and we have to deal with it. I have grandchildren. I want them to come down and enjoy the beaches like I did. And I think we're all pretty much in the same age group here. Maybe a little younger than others. But I think before anything needs to be approved by you guys, infrastructure is a major, major, major loss that we're suffering here in this county. Everything's getting improved. I'm a realtor, by the way. I understand property rights. I also understand quality of life. I understand my property rights. This is my property. This is one thing you can't tax. You might be able to regulate it, but you can't get money from me. And I've watched ambulances trying to get by on Route 24, on Route 5, Route 1. And it's getting to the point where it's harder and harder and harder, especially on Route 24. I have property on Love Creek. It takes me, in the wintertime, 10 minutes to get from my home in Angola to my property on Love Creek. In the summer, a half an hour to go 3 miles because we can't move. And now that new neighborhood, isn't that Pelican Landing that you were just talking about on Route 24 next to Peddler's Village? We need another store.
Yeah, it's where the trees are down on 24. That's what that one was for.
And I have neighbors that have owned that property right there on Love Creek for 30 years and enjoyed that privacy. And now there's another shopping center like we need a hole in the head. It's out of control. The development in Sussex County is out of control. And I don't know if you all know it, it's the third largest growing county in this nation. Is that something we should be proud of? I don't think so. And I think there should be a moratorium on development like you do on fish. I'm a fisherman. I can't go out and catch striper on certain times of year. I can't go get flounder, or it has to be a certain size. If we can do that for fish, let's do that for us. Let's start putting a moratorium on what we approve. Let's make DelDOT and DENREC more accountable, because as far as I'm concerned, that's a waste of my tax dollars, and you can go on record. Judy Mangini, Lewis, Delaware said that. Because I've called DENREC, and I've waited weeks, and they didn't do anything. It gets to the point where I guess we're just going to have to take care of it ourselves. My neighbors are allowed to burn their garbage and their shingles, and when they can't get a house or can't get a car towed away, put a little gas in a match. I've seen it happen. So I think that we need to start holding these other organizations accountable for their jobs and what they're approving down here. If my husband has a heart attack, damn it, I want the ambulance to get there at least within 10 minutes, not a half an hour, because they can't drive down a road that used to be drivable. I want to be able to go to the store and not pull my hair out because I can't get there just for a gallon of milk. I got to time what day, what time during that day is a good time for me to go to the grocery store. It's crazy. And that's now. So what happens when my four-year-old granddaughter decides to come down here for a visit? Or when I die, she might inherit my house. It depends on how she treats me when I'm old. But you know, what is it going to be like for her when she wants to go get a gallon of milk? Will she be able to have a cow in her backyard and say, the heck with that, I'll just get my own? And property rights, let's go back to that. Being a realtor, I understand that people have a right to sell their property and somebody has a right to develop it. But I have a right to my quality of life, and I have a right to be able to get an ambulance to a family member. And I have a right to be able to enjoy my property that I bought however many years ago. And around me has changed. I used to have 400 acres around me. Now I have Bayfront at Rehoboth, and now I have Bay Woods, and now we're going to have Sloan Road developed. It's pending because they're going to have to do their due diligence and figure out if they're going to be allowed. And I'm asking you, don't allow everything. Please, don't allow everything. Let's keep some of it. You all remember that song, Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell? Pave paradise and you put up a parking lot. That's what you're doing in our paradise down here. I'm going to leave you with that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak about the comprehensive plan? Even the lady from the League of Women Voters didn't show up.
Yeah, that's true.
She's been here for a while.
I know. I hope everything's okay. Okay, does anyone else have anything they want to talk about the comp plan? If not, we'll go back to our public hearings. Our first public hearing was 2017-5, Martha Collins Ayers.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant the preliminary and final site plan approval for subdivision 2017-5 for the lands of Martha E. Collins Ayers based on the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. Number one, this subdivision seeks to create a 1.977 acre lot from a 7.56 acre parcel. The new lot will have access via an existing 50 foot wide easement. Two, the proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects the orderly growth of the county. Second, number two. Actually, I believe this will be number three. The land is zoned AR1, which permits low-density single-family residential development. The proposed subdivision is significantly less than the allowable density in the AR1 district. Four, the proposed subdivision will be consistent with the area and will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. Five, the proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities. Six, the proposed subdivision will not adversely affect traffic on area roadways. And seven, because this subdivision only creates one lot, a waiver from the street design and forested buffer requirements are appropriate. A waiver is appropriate. And that's my motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve subdivision 2017-5, Martha Collins Ayers as a preliminary and final by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries 5-0. Our next public hearing was 2017-6, Donna Smith Marconi.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary and final site plan approval of subdivision 2017-6 for Donna Smith Marconi based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this subdivision seeks to create a 5-acre lot from a 63.26-acre parcel. The new lot will have access via an existing 50-foot wide easement. Two, the proposed subdivision generally meets the purpose of the subdivision ordinance in that it protects the orderly growth of the county. Three, the land is zoned AR1, which permits low-density single-family residential development. The proposed subdivision is significantly less than the allowable density in the AR1 district. Four, the proposed subdivision will be consistent with the area and will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. Five, the proposed subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities. Six, the proposed subdivision will not adversely affect traffic on area roadways. Seven, because this subdivision only creates one lot, a waiver from the road design and forested buffer requirement is appropriate.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the subdivision 2017-6, Donna Smith Marconi, as a preliminary and final, Kim?
Yes.
With final by staff upon receipt of all agency approvals. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next public hearing was conditional use, number 2089, Massey's Landing Properties, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, in reference to CU 2089, Massey's Landing Property, LLC, I move we defer for further consideration.
Second.
We have a motion and second to defer action on conditional use number 2089, Massey's Landing Properties, LLC, for further consideration by the commission. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Our next item is conditional use 2090, Edgar Race Hernandez.
Mr. Chairman, can we entertain a little discussion on this?
Sure.
I want to point something out that is an issue that we have that exacerbates these types of situations. We have the ability to, not we have the ability, we permit building permits to be issued for storage buildings on residentially zoned properties that we almost certainly know are going to be used for some type of commercial activity. I don't know what we do about that, but this aggravates these kinds of situations. This gentleman was a painting contractor running a painting contracting business from this site when he got the building permit for that building. He essentially told us that. And this is one of the things that aggravates these situations, because he was given a permit for a building and understanding that in his mind he's doing what he's supposed to do. He went and got a permit, and built the building, and now we've got 12 trucks and 25 employees in a residential area, you know, that we now have to deal with. And I don't know if there is a way to fix this, and I know it's beyond the purview of our group because this has to do with the issuance of building permits, which is not our thing, but certainly zoning and land use is our thing, and they're related. We need to kind of find a way to address that problem when it happens, before somebody's gone out and spent, you know, $30, $40, $50, $100,000 on a building for a purpose that they're not authorized to use. It just seems like a real problem to me. And
I wonder if he started out with a paint bucket and a brush as an owner-occupied.
I suspect so. He probably started out with no employees and just was a painting guy. And he's he's living the American dream, and of course now he's run into this roadblock, and this is a real problem, because that's a fairly intense use in an area where there's no commercial activity anywhere near it, you know? And so what do we do with that situation?
Well, there comes a time when you outgrow a rural conditional use situation. There comes a time when
That's the interesting thing about this is that it's almost as if he's blown right past that.
Yeah.
You know. But that's just my own thoughts that I wanted to leave the commission with, and I'm hoping that maybe we can have a deferral so folks can consider it a little further.
I think it's worthy. Any other discussion?
No.
Mr. Hoffman, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in regard to CU 2090, Edgar
Reyes.
And then?
Hernandez.
Thank you. I move we defer for further consideration.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to defer action on conditional use 2090, Edgar Reyes Hernandez, for further consideration by the commission. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. Chairman, I might have jumped the gun on Massey's Landing, because frankly, there might be some comments on that, and this is the only time we have a public opportunity to talk about it.
I have no problem with going back to that. Do you, Mr. Robertson? We've deferred action on Massey's Landing.
I think I jumped a gun on that, and we might need some, you know.
That's fine. Let's do Spezzato's, and then we'll go back to it.
Yeah. Okay, so our next item is conditional use 2095, Spezzato Investments, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have some discussion on that, if we might.
Please.
Sure.
I grew up in this area, Bethany, Ocean View, Millville. And this seems to me that it is a residential area with a couple chicken farms, and I know Mark West personally. I have some heartburn with people going there at 5 o'clock in the morning. I have a lot of heartburn with people going there at 5 o'clock in the morning and people working on equipment, and you know they're going to be starting lawnmowers, trucks, trailers, things like that. I mean, am I thinking wrong?
And that backup alarm is a big one.
Well, here's the thought on that, too. And I think Ms. Stevenson may have been alluding to this. That equipment comes back to the shop at 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Right.
You know, they start at daybreak. You know, they're not working here, but they can start at 6 o'clock in the morning. And if they work an 8-hour day, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon when they come in. Give the equipment an hour to cool off, you've still got from 3 to 7 to work on it to get it in shape for the next day, and you're doing it at a time when it isn't going to bother anybody. I just think it perhaps is a scheduling issue, and I know that that's the schedule that they would prefer, but I'm not sure that it's the schedule that serves the interests of the people of Sussex County. I'll just leave it at that.
And another thing about the wood chipper, the mulch making thing, is that something you have to have approved additionally to the conditional use?
When did that happen? I mean, I'm
that
sitting.
That happened here. Because.
Did we do that?
Yeah.
No, yes.
Yes.
Not since
I know. Gosh, when did we do it?
Well, because that's one of those we talked about earlier where the condition originated at the commission. So the commission has the ability to modify those types of conditions. Remember, we talked about it on. What was it? The first one.
Massey's Landing.
Massey's Landing. You know, he asked why.
I know, but did we permit the chipping?
Yeah.
Yes.
But with a limited time, it's not, and I don't have it.
They actually have to notify the planning office when they are looking to do it, and it's a very short time frame it's like 2 weeks throughout the year.
Okay.
I'd have to double
that.
Check.
I remember that now.
But yeah, but they actually have to notify the planning office when they look to do it, so then we are aware if complaints start coming in.
Yeah, I just didn't remember that. The testimony sounded like it was permitted within limited hours, but any time. But it's also a limited period of time of year, too, right?
Correct. It's very limited, and
Okay, well, as long as it's, I'm remembering that now. It's a pretty short window that I think that they have.
Yeah, it said it allows the grinding of yard waste to mulch no more than 2 times a year for 7 to 10 days in duration between the hours of 8 and 4:30 Monday through Friday. The owner shall notify planning zoning department prior to commencement of mulch.
I remember now.
Okay, that's specifically spelled out then when they can do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they can do it twice a year for 7 to 10 days, but they have to call the office first.
Because we've had another one similar to that somewhere else.
Well, we did.
Yeah, well, we denied one altogether too.
And
we
turned all together.
We turned one completely down.
The one in Bridgeville?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was at pallet grinding.
That was the same.
But then we just approved one over near where Marty lives a week or so ago.
Yeah, but that's so far out.
That well, that's out in the middle of nowhere.
That was an infill of an old asphalt plant.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I mean to cut you off. When does the conditional use stop being the conditional use that
quit?
It was meant to be? I mean, it started out was somebody else owned the business. It wasn't even Spazzato's. It was four trucks. It was 7 to 7, and now it's a much larger.
Well, the conditional use will always travel with the land, but it has to be in continuous operation. I think it's 2 years.
Three, I think. If they quit 3 years, discontinue 3 years, they lose it.
There's a time frame in which it can go away, but it'll stay with the land.
And this one was old enough, too, just to interject, where there weren't a lot of conditions put on. There were just four, you know, so there wasn't a lot as far as
number of
vehicles
or any of
that stuff. So.
My tail-end question to that is how big can a conditional use get from where it is, you know, born to?
So it depends. It depends, you know, you get a site plan approved with a conditional use. So if you start exceeding this, you've got to come in for changes to the site plan. And the commission always has the ability to say, the change you're asking for exceeds what you originally approved for, we're going to require another public hearing. So you always have that ability to do that.
And I think that in a couple of these this evening, that the scale maybe wasn't really anticipated, and maybe we need to look at limiting the scale when we do conditional uses. We need to start saying, you know, not only hours of operation, but perhaps size of operation. I don't know, because that's a lot more traffic, a lot more stuff than I don't think any of us thought would.
That's a tiny road.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we all want the American dream to be alive and well, but yeah, I mean, everybody else has to live on a little road.
Yeah.
And we don't, you know, we don't want to deprive people from making a living. You know, and that to me has always been the basis of the conditional use in my mind had always been for operations that were relatively small. You know, somebody who maybe had half a dozen employees or something, and that it wasn't going to be, these larger enterprises. Just a thought.
Well, thanks for your time, but I would move for deferral at this point.
Further consideration.
Okay, that's good. We have a motion for deferral. Any second?
Second, send it.
We have a motion and a second for deferral.
Can I ask another question?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Okay. So, I hear and I agree with everything. So, what happens next if it's not, if we don't approve this?
Well, this goes to council.
Well, what?
No,
well,
I mean for this guy. In other
words,
he'll be in violation if he comes in
before 7. Posada, well, the deal will be simply for him is he can't start before 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and then he'll be violated.
He'll be violated. And
that's a potential enforcement action like we talked about. You know, the
right. Void, the whole thing. So I'm just thinking, I would think it would be difficult. This is something that people need to look at and when they're buying a property. And they want to have a business on it. Businesses like that, generally speaking, they have people on site before 7 o'clock in the morning. So how long would he, if he were to say, man, it's just kind of a deal breaker for my business, would he be able to continue to do something for X months before he can buy something else, or?
Well, typically the way it works in the enforcement is, they would, and I don't want to get specific on this one, because I don't know how it would play out, but something like that, there would be a letter so that you're in violation. You need to come into compliance. And if the property owner or the business owner comes in and says, okay, this is what my plan is, I'm getting another place, the staff would coordinate that. It's not like we're going to chain lock your entrance, you know, right?
Yeah, we've never...
Unless you just don't do anything.
Yeah, it's been very rare that somebody gets shut down. I mean, I don't know that I'm not aware of any incident where we've ever done that completely, but there could have been. But the idea that this is going to impact them to the point that they would need to move or something, I don't really see that. I mean, it's a scheduling issue. The schedule that they've proposed is convenient, and it's probably what they do everywhere else on Earth. But this property here is in a specific location with this, you know, and we may decide that it requires something different.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. If discussion is done, defer action on conditional use 2095 Sposato Investments LLC for further consideration by the commission. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries 5-0. And then, Mr. Hopkins, you wanted to discuss conditional use 2089 Massey's Landings Properties?
Yes. Yes, thanks. Sorry about jumping the gun.
No, it's all right.
Did you want to reconsider? Did you want to reconsider that one? Is that what you... Or what do you want to...
I guess first I wanted it to open up to any comments.
Let's do this. I think what we need to do is... Who made the motion to defer that one?
Me.
Who seconded it?
Oh, we had 2 seconds. We had...
Tim.
Okay, so we need...
Can I make another motion?
Yeah, make a motion that we reconsider.
Could, conditions. Mr. Chairman, it's a
2089.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to reopen or reconsider or in regard to CU 2089 Massey's Landing Properties LLC. I make a motion to reconsider discussing that before I would make a recommendation.
Kim would need a second on that. Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to reopen discussion on conditional use 2089 Massey's Landing Properties LLC. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. You have the floor, Mr. Hopkins.
So I get, it's my understanding, and Vince, certainly I need your help clarifying this,
sure.
But that generally speaking, the whole idea of being qualified as an RV park or qualified as an RV and under the RV park ordinances the primary purpose for the number one, they have to be removed every year, so that one of the top reasons for that is so that it doesn't kind of grow roots and porches and
there's a
dilapidated mess.
There's a second reason too that I didn't really necessarily want to get into the public hearing is that they're asking to tie these down like mobile homes. Mobile homes are also taxed by the county.
That was the other thing.
You know, and so what they're essentially looking to do is turn these into mobile homes, which become basically dwellings, even though they're not occupied, but they're not taxed. I know at the council level that's going to create heartburn. There's several members of council that feel like with campgrounds where the RVs become permanent fixtures and the people live there, you know, whether it's all year round or a good part of the year, and they, you know, use all of the infrastructure and everything else, but they're not taxed. You know, that's an issue at the council level. So,
well, I seem to recall, Bob, help
I don't
me.
Know if it's a legitimate one, but that's one that they're mulling over.
No, I think it's legitimate. Yeah. I concur with the council on this particular issue, but I recall, Bob, that we discussed this at some length during that public hearing about these cabins. Right, you know, can they be broken down? Are they mobile?
What were they,
you know,
really?
You know, yeah, and can they be moved off site? And I need to listen to the tape to be sure, but well, I remember having a lengthy discussion about
I remember them saying they could be moved, and I think that may be how things got to be the way they are. And then, but they found out how difficult and expensive and kind of unreasonable it was to
store,
move them.
Yeah.
But the, you know, the I get the tax thing. I agree with that too. And the only argument I can think of that might mitigate that is the fact that they're not occupied year round, not used. But that can be said about a lot of mobile homes too.
Well, sure.
So I don't know. Maybe they're going to have to think of another way to deal with that. But
and where it comes up in the other campgrounds, there weren't those conditions on getting, you know, that yeah, they're only occupied.
It may require something that they really don't want to do, which would be to create another ordinance that addresses that subject for all campgrounds and fixed dwelling units, whatever you want to call them. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is like the cabins. To me, it's like the cabins at Cape Henlopen.
Well,
the cabins aren't on wheels at Cape Henlopen, but I mean, essentially.
Well, and these park models really aren't either. I mean, yeah. Ultimately, yeah. They skirt them and build porches on the front of them, and they're never going to leave.
But I thought in the original minute, I know, Janelle, didn't you send us the minutes?
Did.
And I thought it said something about Mr. Fuqua, who represented the applicant, requested nine permanent or something. I can't remember the language. I'd have to read it again. But I thought it was only of nine. So when the number 70 came up, it surprised me just a little bit. But then the council never approved any of those. They just left them off. Everything had to come out. I think it'd be wise in our position to probably take the time to listen to at least snippets of that public hearing on both the commission and the council's public hearing, because sometimes they change. Or at least review those minutes more diligently before we make a decision.
There are a number of permanent buildings, like the a portion of that restaurant is a permanent building. There are some other bathhouses that are permanent buildings, and the Welcome Center is a permanent building. So there are a number of permanent buildings on the site that do comply with the floodplain. It was anything that anybody would live in needed to be removed.
So do they pay props or whatever the tax is on those buildings?
Oh, well, yeah, the owner pays, you know, they pay the property tax for the whole place.
But I mean, are those buildings, do those buildings have some kind of a...
They have a value and they're assessed, you know, okay. As part of the bill they get for the whole thing.
So should these 70?
Well, I mean, that's a bigger issue, you know.
Because that's the heartburn you're talking about, the county.
Yeah,
the
and not with council. This one so much, just generally with campgrounds, you know. I guess my thought is, too, is just...
We're establishing a whole new precedent here.
Yeah, and if you say that these can be tied down like mobile homes, you're effectively saying that anybody in any campground, I think, could bring in one of these and make it permanent on a campground lot. You know, we have plenty of other campgrounds where there's no seasonal limitations, and you've basically made yourself a year-round community. You know?
Well, I think that's your only place we have to hang our hat on this is the fact that it is limited, that it's not year-round.
Yeah.
That would be the only thing you could say to the other campgrounds that are not limited.
Yeah, right.
Well,
right.
We're permitting it here because of the limitation. Right. If you'd like to have the same thing, we'd be happy to do it for you, but they're not going to want that, so...
I mean,
that's one of the reasons we denied the tiny house campground, because she wanted it year-round, and it looked like it could become a neighborhood.
And on the tax part of these RVs and mobile homes and things like that, they're registered just like motor vehicles.
Oh, yeah. They've got
the registration, the title, and all that kind of stuff. So they pay a registration fee for those things, right?
The DMV.
To the state, not the county.
Exactly.
Or just like with a title fee, yeah. But whereas mobile homes, they're assessed by... You get a tax bill from Sussex County.
Yes, you do.
You do?
You
okay.
do, yeah. Good. So, you know, like a car, you don't get a personal property tax like some states, but on a mobile home...
That was my next question.
Yeah, if you place a mobile home, you are paying taxes on that mobile home.
So you're saying that all 70 of these, they are paying motor vehicle tax?
Oh,
that I don't know.
I don't know, because I think he said they weren't titled or registered.
Yeah, that's it. That bears some investigating, and that might be something that we should look into, or at least somebody should look into if on council's behalf before they have to take it up. Because we're making a recommendation. That's going to county council from here, and that's something that they will want to do their homework on, because there may be a way for them to capture.
Yeah.
That tax revenue.
And on this one, too, setting that aside, there was a concern, because it's in the minutes, too, you know, that a lot of this is in the floodplain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all right to go camping in it, but, you know, unlike some of the others, this one really had, you know, that whole area floods, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, anytime we get a nor'easter, maybe this weekend, they're talking, I mean, that road will be flooded.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see it.
Yeah. I mean, it just, Massey's Landing, Oak Orchard, right? I mean,
Planning Commission field trip.
Been down there numerous times in police cars with a lot of water.
We actually did that once, by the way. We actually took a field trip to Americana Bayside to see how what we had decided worked out. And it was a really, and something we should do every year someplace. We should do that once a year, go some development somewhere that we approved and see how we did.
Yeah.
Because it was enlightening. I mean, most of it was pretty good. Mr. Ross was there, but it was...
I think it was suggested by Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson's...
Suggested
a great idea.
Because you can see, like, the setbacks. That's what I'm building separation.
Yeah, go back and see what the results of your decisions really were.
Well, and if you look at a golf course community like that, you realize what densities, higher densities, might look like in a setting, because the overall density might be 1.5 or 1.7 or something for the development. But when you take out the golf course and the wetlands and everything, you've got a lot of condominium-type settings where you're looking at 20 or 30 units to the acre, literally, adjacent to
the
golf course.
If you count just the land.
Yeah, just where it's sitting.
Yeah. On, it's pretty
dense. And so you can figure, like, man, going to 4 or 8 probably isn't all that much. And so you take communities like Americana Bayside, Baywood Greens, Bear Trap, where they have golf court communities, the actual housing is a pretty high density relative to our discussions.
And the mixed-use discussions that have been coming up, Bayside is really good. That's a good example.
And Bear Trap, too, even though that's developing.
So on this whole tax issue, you're saying is my understanding that if it's an RV, then Sussex County really doesn't get any of that money. It goes to DelDOT. It goes to Josh.
Just like your car. Yeah.
Josh gets
the car.
So
Josh gets that money.
You
would agree.
Well, that's very interesting. I think if I was in charge of if I had the burden of responsibility of managing the coffers and distributing, paying for stuff for Sussex County, I would probably have heartburn over any RV park, because I feel like some of that money is coming to the county.
Well, and see, the thing is, but if it's a true RV park, it's like a hotel room or whatever. People are coming in and out, and so that's okay. It's the ones where they become permanent, or semi-permanent, That's the one.
But how about hotels have to? They
pay tax.
They do. The hotel does, but and just like the campground does, but. In a mobile home park, the mobile home park owner gets taxed or assessed as a property owner, and then each individual mobile home owner also gets taxed.
Well, I mean,
because they're using the schools, they're using the roads, they're using the EMS, they're using the police that we contribute to.
Seems to me the spirit.
Ms. Walls has a comment.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just had a question about Mr. Clark mentioned several times, I think, the transient nature of the campground.
Right.
Is it possible for the park models, even though they're tied, potentially going to be tied to the ground, that they're restricted to the amount of time they're rented to an individual? Because the campgrounds, the state parks do that. You can't stay more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, they do that at Massey's Landing.
I just don't know how we would enforce that.
That is really going to be difficult to enforce.
But they do it as, it's part of their business model. They do that.
How'd you ever check on it, though?
Yeah, right.
We wouldn't as a county, but that's their business model.
And right. Marty's going to knock on the door. Excuse me. Were you here last week? Huh? You said you're going to go knock on doors, right, Marty?
No, I went by there the other day.
I saw you before, kid.
Yeah,
we were 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
But I think the state parks do that. How do they enforce it? I'm not sure, but just a question.
I would think that would be different. I mean, the state park is trying to make sure that other people have the opportunity to share, because tax money is paid for that. But this is a private enterprise. I wouldn't think they'd be super motivated to say, oh no, you can't come back again.
No, they have repeat visitors.
Even with the state parks, you can rent it for so long, but then you have to leave. You can
come back.
Leave for a day or two and come back, but you can't stay. Right.
You could do it, I mean, paperwork-wise, you could go in and after the fact and do a callback and say, okay, show me your paperwork on Unit 7. And, you could go through that, and then if you had a callback provision, you could do it. But, man, it's really a lot of aggravation.
I'm still just a little bit hung up on this, the whole tax thing. Seems like somebody should be getting some taxes from somewhere.
Well, no, that's been a discussion at council.
I bet you never thought you'd hear me say that.
Aren't they getting taxed like hotels, though? I mean...
But they should be paying the registration tax.
Sussex County's not getting any tax from hotels.
Is there a way that we can, like, amend? You guys were saying, like, amend the rules and let them start paying taxes.
Well, I know that actually came up in the very, very first workshop we had on the comp plan. Mr. Cole brought that up and we about the comp plan, and we said, that's not really a comp plan issue. That's kind of an ordinance issue. But so that's one they're looking at. I wouldn't be surprised if it's, I don't know where it would go in the comp plan, but Mr. Cole, that's a pet project of his.
Yeah.
Well, manufactured housing and RVs are all Mr. Cole's pet.
Yeah. Well, no, but he sees it as, why should somebody in a mobile home who's living there year-round pay taxes, and somebody who's living in, say, Leisure Point, that's an older place that's got porches and rooms built on them and everything else, they're not paying taxes. It's a fairness issue. That, I mean, it's revenue and fairness.
I think he has a valid point.
I do too.
What's that?
Yeah, I think he has a valid point.
Yeah, I think so too. Please be it on record, I agree with Mr. Cole.
The world is spinning backwards.
I shouldn't have said that.
That KH is beside that. I'm so glad we circled back around and had a further discussion.
Okay.
Is everybody done for tonight?
I'm good if you're good. You want to make another motion?
We'll be back here in 12 and a half hours. Yeah.
So now that's all we get to talk about it. Now we just have, next time, at some point, we'll have to make a motion and not.
Well, I would say at this point, if you want to defer it, since you reconsidered
it. I definitely want to defer
it. Yeah, make another motion to defer it.
Second time.
So what happens next then? I mean, we're going to listen to some public record?
You can research it as much as you want. I mean,
it's almost
public
like
record.
Legal. It's almost like, I mean, if I've got to make a motion, I'm almost establishing some case law precedent or something.
we'll give it some thought.
We're not that advanced.
That's why we have Mr. Robertson down there.
It was more just that my whole thing was, it's a heads up that council's really going to dig into it on that level with you guys. You know, choose to
Mr.
or not.
Mr. Keller's head's going
to
explode. Now, yeah.
That's why they make the big bucks.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he'll be thinking about that.
Hopkins is out of control. I can hear now. Hopkins is out of control. That's what the council said.
Inquisitiveness is better than non-inquisitiveness.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, in regard to CU 2089 Massey's Landing Property LLC, I move we defer for further consideration.
Considerable consideration.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second again to Ms. Stevenson. We have a motion and second to defer action on conditional use 2089 Massey's Landing Properties LLC for further consideration by the commission. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. That's all we have this evening. Our agenda is anything else for the good of the order?
Stand up.
Hearing none, we stand adjourned. God bless Sussex County.